All right, Brian. Good morning. Good morning to everybody out there. Let me take this off recording for a minute. All right. Hold on just a minute. I command all of you witches to leave right now in the name of Jesus. They're right out there on the road. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over this property and over this house in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. They left. I'm telling you, this is serious what's happening to me right now. No, the same thing that happened to me in D.C. But see, they can't cross the bloodline. That's the deal. So this is why they're out by the road, because they could not cross the bloodline. And you know what happens? This is how God lets me know. One of the keys God let me know across the country whenever witches are near me is this buzzing in my head. Because what they do is they try to, and I know this sounds so crazy, but it is what it is. But they do this loud buzzing in your head to bring confusion, you know, because you know, our portal to heaven is our communications with God. So what they try to do is they try to block that communications so that you cannot hear from God, because y'all have seen it on these prayer calls, you know, where God will talk to me and rebuke me anytime, you know, or say something, or, you know, give me a revelation or whatever it is at any time. That's because this portal is open between me and him. You know, we talk all the time type of deal. So what they do when the witches get near is they immediately block that, you know. And do y'all remember the story I told you about my mother? And how the forgiveness, remember that on the bed? When I was on the floor praying in tongues, that's what I was doing, was keeping them at bay from harassing my mother and messing with her head so that she could think and, you know, type of deal, be able to hear from God, so that that portal would be open between her and God so that she could hear him and let him talk to her. And that's what happened. He would bring people to her mind that she needed to forgive, and then she'd beat up the pillow and roll on the bed and fight this anger she had in her heart towards these people. And then by the time the 3 hours were over with, my mother was healed. But I had to hold the demons back. Y'all are getting a good lesson on spiritual warfare this week. So what I did was I went on, because somebody brought it up yesterday, and they said, don't you vet the people that call in on your prayer line? And I'm like, well, actually, I don't, because this was open to the public. But now I'm thinking maybe I should, you know, have a gate on it. So what I did on Band is I took out every person. It's about 100 people that are not involved in the ministry at all, or I don't know these people. You know, maybe they come in because they were YouTube people and they wanted to just, you know, stay abreast of what's going on. But they can see all that on YouTube. They can see it on Patreon. They can see it on our website. They don't have to be in our house, if y'all know what I mean. So the people that we have in band now is vetted. So y'all know now that I'm not opening that door unless I talk to these people on the phone and unless I know them, because we're at that day, people. We are at that moment in time where the warfare is increasing type of deal. Okay, so the only other announcement is that we are having a fast, a corporate fast in a couple of weeks on April 1st through the 3rd. And y'all can see the warfare is ramped up. We need to come together as a global body and fight in the spirit and pray. So we will do that then, April 1st through the 3rd. Pastor, do you have any announcements? No. So I think that's all the announcements we have. Yeah, I guess that's it. So I'm going to go ahead and just open up the lines for you guys because this is Give Back Wednesday. Yeah. Where you can give back to the global church. And we love listening to you guys and hearing how you do it and what you have to say. Because what I do while you guys are speaking is I take notes. And so, and then I, you know, put the notes up on the website. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started here with Canada. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Bride. I just want to talk again today about the importance of having the right scripture version, how subtle changes can open up misinterpretations. I have spoken of the importance of using the King James Bible before, but I'm coming from a slightly different angle to support this concern. My wife and I were reading the Bible and following scripture. The following scripture jumped out at me. 1 Timothy 4, 1-3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Many times in my past conversations with other Christians, I have been compelled to say to them, "Who told you that?" And in the end, it turns out that they are reading from a different version of the scripture, and there are lots of versions. I'm also doing income tax right now for the family, and what a mess of legal jargon and directions to follow. How easy it is to assume and make a mistake, which will, of course, produce incorrect tax reports. Just not having a clear understanding of the written English language can get you into a lot of trouble. So it came to me also how we as Christians also assume scripture is as what we have been told and do not personally search for the true answer or direction from God ourselves. So I'll give you some simple examples here. When you look in the Bible at Luke 23:43, it's a simple verse. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, comma, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Pretty clear. Right? But what if in the scripture that a person uses, the comma is moved to the end of the word today? It would read then as follows. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee today, comma, shalt thou be with me in paradise." You see the difference of just moving a comma? Who would do this, you ask? Well, this is exactly what the Jehovah Witnesses have done. They read and say that Jesus is telling the thief on the cross that sometime in the future he'll be in paradise, not that day. That's the difference of moving that comma. So God warns what will happen to those who change his word. I wouldn't want to be them. But we have to be aware of this. So I'll stick to the King James Version as the selected experts involved with this translation were chosen and were well-versed in the English language. Another example, if we look at John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What if we add the small word, A, after the word was? You now have the Word being one of many gods. while such a small change with such a big impact on Scripture. Again, I guess I'm picking on the Jehovah's Witness, but they did this. But let's turn to, we don't have to go there, but Leviticus 19:28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, comma, nor print any marks upon you. What do you hear when you read this? Do you hear, do not print any marks upon you for the dead? That's not what it says grammatically. It says, do not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. The print any marks upon you. One second. Is not related to the dead. I have actually had past conversations about this, and that's why I use it as an example of scripture interpretation error. Moving on to Ephesians 1:17. I'll read that. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When you read this, do you see one spirit or two? Grammatically, there is only one spirit mentioned here, as there is no S on the end of the word spirit. So the spirit mentioned here is singular and not plural. Stephen Bannon, if you ever followed him, a lot of us have, always referred to the scripture in Zechariah 8:23. They will take the hold of a skirt of him that is a Jew. But Stephen kept saying the rabbis and the Jewish folks are trying to make this plural, to read the skirts of Jews, to reference the need of having a rabbi and not referencing Jesus Christ. So I'm using simple scriptures in the Bible to open our eyes to what the devil is doing right now with scripture, but in more complex and devious ways, twisting it. Again, how important it is that we use the King James Version Bible. It's the best version we have. If the devil can get us to doubt our scripture, he can then lead us to a twisted doctrine. If we do not interpret our scripture correctly, we can also be led into all sorts of beliefs contrary to the true word of God, and the devil may even get us to stray from the fundamental beliefs of a Christian. So I'm not an English teacher, and I'm not a hater of tattooed people. Neither am I giving an English lesson today. I just want to have us all beware of the subtle ways the devil works to deceive the believers. So if you ever find yourself being led away from the fundamental beliefs of a Christian, the flag should come up, and you should run. Pastor June left a message yesterday talking about the divine world court that's coming, a one world religion. Well, I'm sure they're going to try and twist our scripture and get as many people to doubt as possible. So we must always remember the fundamental beliefs of a Christian, and we can never deviate from them. And quickly I'll list them. One is the inspiration and inerrancy of our scripture, that all scripture is God breathed. Unless, of course, we use a man-demon-adjusted version. And if we do have a differing of belief on the King James Version scripture, what we need to get clarity from our pastors, Dennis and June, and not from those teaching false doctrine. The second belief we need to keep is the deity of Jesus Christ. He is fully God and fully man. Next is the virgin birth of Christ. Then we need to believe the substitutionary atoning work of Christ on the cross, the only possible permanent and acceptable sinless sacrifice for our sins, and the physical resurrection of Jesus, who was raised in 3 days and now sits at the right hand of God. He is alive, a living God. And also we believe in the personal bodily return of Christ to the earth at his second coming. And he is coming back to reign. May God bless his bride in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hello, June.
Yay, I'm so excited. I was looking up something on the King James, is why I couldn't get back over here as quick. I'm so proud of you, brother. I cannot wait for that to get up on the website. That is such good information. All right, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to expound on that a little bit, because I've told you guys before about the King James Version, and I want to give you a little synopsis about it. Okay, the King James Bible, commissioned by King James I in 1604 and published in 1611, emerged from a desire to unify the Church of England and to address religious divisions, resulting in a landmark translation that profoundly impacted the English language and culture. In the early 17th century, England was experiencing religious tensions, with the Church of England facing challenges from both Catholics and Puritans. King James, a religious scholar himself, sought to unite these factions and solidify his own authority through a universally accepted Bible translation. In January 1604, he convened the Hampton Court Conference, where the idea for a new English translation was proposed. Now, I kind of disagree with this is AI when you research it, overview of what happened. I disagree with this definition, because the truth was King James wanted a Christian version of the Bible. He gathered together the top scholars of the world to translate, and they would take one scroll here and evaluate it, and one scroll, and then they'd swap them to another group, another group, another group. And then they did an official translation for Protestants, okay? And they took out the Catholic Apocrypha books. But according to this thing right here, it says that in the 1611 books of the King James, that it contained the Apocrypha. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But the point was, when I did my college paper on this and I researched this, there was a battle, and the Catholics actually tried to assassinate King James four times. But when you look it up by AI, of course, they're covering for the Catholics. They're not mentioning this. But in other words, it's a very fascinating, you know, study. And I agree with my brother. I do endorse the King James Version. Amen. And thank you for trusting us by saying, you know, if we have any questions, for people to come to me and Pastor. I appreciate that. Okay, now let's move on to Mississippi. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I will be reading Proverbs 1. I have the New Living Translation.
Proverbs 1.
Ma'am. There are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insights to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discernment. In discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive, like the grave. that swallow them whole, like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll find our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their path. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Wisdom shouts in the street. She cries out in the public square. She calls in the crowds along the main street to those gathered in front of city gates. How long, you simpleton, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long, you fools, hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I call you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelms you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anciently searched for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and choose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. And God add a reading to the doers and the listeners of his word. Amen.
Amen, sister. That was very beautiful. Thank you for encouraging us in the word. Okay, what about New Jersey? Good morning, New Jersey.
Oh, good morning. I love you. And, you know, the ones that have been with you for a long time, you know, we love you so much and we support you. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. I just wanted to say that. But I have these index cards that are in, like, this small spiral booklet. So I have different scriptures written down, so I'm going to share those this morning. And Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And this is great for us as part of your ministry. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Amen. Isaiah 54:17, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. And Proverbs 14:19, evil people will bow before good people. The wicked will bow at the gates of the godly. Deuteronomy 31:6, Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And let's see. Oh, one of my favorites, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 94:18 and 19. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Psalm 56:3-4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Psalm 118:5-7. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I took triumph. I look in triumph on my enemies. And one of my favorites, another one of my favorites, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I also have that written on my cork board so I can memorize scripture. And I also wrote underneath that Isaiah 41:10. And I changed it up to say, fear not, for you are with me, and I will not be dismayed, for you are my God. And you will strengthen me, you will help me, and you will uphold me with your righteous right hand. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I think that's it for today.
Well, that was most excellent. That was most excellent. Thank you for all the encouraging words, and we receive them all. Amen.
Yes. Amen. In your mighty name, Jesus, and your guidance, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Yes, amen. All right, well, let's move on then to Florida. Hello, Florida. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, I'm going to be reading from Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by thy name. Judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give me ear to the word of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah, because behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he that delivers me out of trouble, and my eyes have seen his eyes upon my enemies. That's the song I have for this morning.
Well, sister, that sure is good enough. He will deliver us out of our troubles. Amen. All right, well, let's move on then to Florida again. Good morning, sister. How you doing?
Good morning. All righty. Okay. Okay, I am going to read Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, from the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Amen.
All right, very good, sister, very good. Thank you so much. Now listen, if it takes a little bit for me to get back over here after y'all finish, just forgive me because I'm taking notes, okay? So it may do that. Okay, well, what about Virginia? Good morning, Virginia. How you doing?
Wonderful. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dr. June, Pastor Dennis. I just want to say blessings to everyone this morning for their words and sharing. We need it so much. And I was pondering this morning with everything that's been happening. And we're studying the tabernacle. We know that God has came and made himself known to the Israelites, his people. We know that Jesus has come and opened salvation to all of us. And so we know that the Holy Spirit is going to move upon all flesh, and that's in several places in the Word, but I just list for convenience sake Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So we know that that hour is upon us, and the Lord has been dealing with me, and I will go to, what am I in? I'm in Matthew 9:16-17. No man puts a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. This is our answer, but they who put new wine into new bottles, both will be preserved. When the Holy Spirit pours out, it is going to be judgment to those who have not renewed their wineskin and made themselves ready for the new wine. Because it tells us that old wineskin must be soaked in the water. The washing of the water of baptism, the washing of the water of the Word, that is to soften us, to cleanse us. And it says they must also be greased or smeared with oil. I think of that as being smeared with the anointing to prevent leaking and evaporation. And when you look up the word of the process that goes on in that fermentation, it's called the violence of fermentation. And one word they use for that is leaven. So we know these two, we are not going to mix. But our answer to being preserved is that we must have the new wine bottles to hold the new wine of the Holy Spirit as it pours out. It is going to be a safety to us, like Goshen. But it is going to be judgment to those who have not made their wineskins ready, or even reject the new wine and not ready. But nevertheless, we have our answer for preservation. And I just am so thankful we are making ourselves ready. We are preparing our wineskins for the wine that will be of the Holy Spirit that's going to be poured out. And God will make a distinction between us, and he will preserve us. And I just say, God bless the word of the Lord, and God bless everyone listening. And thank you for letting me speak today.
Well, this is very powerful, very, very powerful, because I want to review a few things that she said that I took notes of. Okay, so what she's saying is that there is a time coming where the judgment's going to be a blessing on one side and a curse on the other. Well, as she referred to, you know, we are studying the tabernacle, and it starts out in the beginning where Moses is bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. When they're at the river, and they're walking through the river, you know, they are going through like a cleansing process. But when the army comes after them, right before they cross over, the angel moves from one side, the front of the people. Remember, there's about a million of them. He's in the front of them, and he moves to the back. So the cloud moves to the back between them and their enemy. So on the enemy's side was fire. They could not cross. They could not cross and get near the children. But on their side, it was light, warmth and light. So it's a big difference. And the same way when the plagues come and you know, the children of Israel had lights when all the other people had darkness. They were provided for when the others were being slaughtered. This is going to be the children of Israel. But along with her instructions this morning comes a warning. And God is saying today that we have to keep ourselves washed in the water of the word. Make sure you're baptized so you have the cleansing of the water. And that you keep yourself soft. Keep yourself, you know, before him to be ready for this, because it is coming. Okay, but on the other side, when it comes, it's going to be severe judgment. And as we heard through our other sister, I think it was Dorothy. Oh, I'm sorry, I said her name. Oh, sorry, sister. That God, you know, he will pass over you if you're not ready. So thank you, sister. That was very, very powerful. Okay, and let's see who else we have here. All right, here we go. We have Indiana. Good morning, Indiana. How you doing?
Good morning, Pastor June. Good morning, everyone. I want to read from Colossians chapter 3 and then chapter 2. Colossians chapter 3, the position of the believer. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I have to turn the page. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That's Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. And this is freedom from the judgment of men. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And that's all I have for today, Pastor Jen. And God bless everyone. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, there is something that I would like to illuminate about what you said about the circumcision. Because basically what the word is saying right there is that it's the circumcision of the heart is what Jesus does. Okay. Versus the Jews in the Old Covenant, you know, they did the circumcision of the flesh. Okay. Now, there's a whole lot to this that could actually be a whole sermon when you look at Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was the flesh. Isaac was the promise. Isaac was the heart, you know. And then another way to look at that is yesterday when I was doing the news, we talked about President Trump converting over to Judaism, which many said he did years ago, but this guy that we was looking at last night did a satirical, he was reading a Jewish satirical article about President Trump, that he was going to go through all of this again just to be a Jew and yada, and he was going to be circumcised. So I was under the impression that you could not convert to be a Jew even if you circumcised yourself, that you had to be blood only. But after doing our research, we discovered that's actually not true. You can convert to be a Jew, but you have to go through all these rituals, like a bath, kind of like a ritual bath, plus the circumcision and some other things with rabbis. And so, it really, you know, after listening to that scripture this morning, it really lets us know how everything changed with Jesus. Everything. Because the tabernacle, just think about the whole point of the tabernacle. It was all flesh. They sacrificed the animals' flesh. They received the blood from them flesh. You know, had to go through the whole act of walking through the temple, walking, you know, through the Holy of Holies to be able to be with God, all flesh actions, all cookie cutter patterns. They knew how to do things every single year, every single way. It was law, 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 law. See, this is why when people go back to the law, to Hebrew roots, they're hanging Jesus on the cross again, because this is another good point. Because Jesus is now the heart. Everything is inverted. It's not the flesh anymore, Ishmael. It's actually Isaac. It's the promise. It's all in the heart. Okay? So it's the circumcision of the heart. Like she was talking about in the word where it said, you know, that he takes the blots out of the heart. That's a big statement. You know, the blots. He actually removes the sin. The perfect lamb that was slain actually removed the sin. In the Old Testament, those sins did not get removed. They only got covered. See, that's a flesh deal. But with Jesus, he's removing the roots. He's cleaning that tree. We're attached to the vine. The vine heals those roots. You see, really cool, sister. Thank you, thank you. All right, we have one more. I don't know if she'll be able to talk because she's at work, but let's try. All right, what about New York? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, sister. How are you?
Good. I'm at work, so I wish I had my Bible with me because I was in Proverbs this morning, chapter 18.
Yeah.
And I wanted to read the, I have a study Bible, one of my Bible, I have a lot of Bibles, but one's a study Bible, and what they said about, it's Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So that reminds me that, you know, I've heard this before, that we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. And I need to be sometimes a better listener. I am, you know, I have to listen to my clients, so I do, but I can always do better with that. And it also reminds me of Romans 12:8, and one of the gifts are the gift of encouragement. And then in the same Proverbs 17, it talks about, and I thought about some people in my life. Hold on. It's Proverbs 18, verse 14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? And the interpretation I have for that is, there's many in the body of Christ that are weak. They're weak for various reasons, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we're supposed to come around them and help them and encourage them to build them up and, you know, not look at them like, oh, you know, they're weak and, you know, whatever. So to speak life into people, to speak life, to encourage them, I came across as a man who was living in his car a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if I mentioned, I could barely park my car in the parking lot because his car was kind of like precluding me from getting in the spot accurately. But I believe that the Lord put me in his path. And he was the nicest man. He used to live in this Section 8 house behind my office, and they were all kicked out. All of them were kicked out. So it seems that now this man is living in his car. And we had such a really nice conversation. And I encouraged him. I said, you know, He knew of the Lord, but I didn't know his heart. He had, like, tattoos all over his face. He actually had a 666 on his forehead. I mean, but I think he used to be a biker or something. But, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I preached the gospel to him. And I said to him, I said, you know, you matter to the Lord. You know, you were made in his image. He created you. And so long story short, the conversation was, he said that I made his day. And I said, no, sir, maybe I have, but you've made my day. And I'm so blessed that we got to talk and spend some time together. So I just want to encourage everyone, you know, to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and to speak life into people, especially in this time where everything is so crazy. I mean, even people that don't know the Lord, they know that things are really bad, you know. So you can even strike up that conversation. Sometimes if I meet a stranger and I'll say, so what do you think about the way the world is and what's happening? And one time that really did open up the conversation, then it segued into the Lord. So as the days get darker, our light that Christ in us should shine brighter. So, and I just want to share one other scripture that Jesus said about the tongue. It says, for your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's Matthew 12, verse 37. So just a reminder about our words. And then I'm driving to work, and then the Holy Spirit brought to my attention in James, it's chapter 3, about, you know, the untamable tongue. And you can read that in chapter 3 in James. And about, you know, how a ship is this huge ship, and it's got this little rudder that steers it, you know. And that's how our tongue is. So with our tongue, we can bless, and with our tongue, we can curse. So just a reminder to me from the Lord to be mindful of my tongue, and I hope that encourages everyone. God bless everyone.
Very good, sister. Thank you for the reminder. We definitely need that with the times that we're in, because the enemy tries to get us to want to lash out or to use our tongue type of deal, and especially with family members. That's where it gets Amen. A lot of people. Okay, so I think that's everybody this morning. Let me see. Yes, it is. Okay, well, that's everybody. So I will talk to you later. I really enjoyed this morning. Every one of you get an A++.